Welcome to the FSHD Society Radio Show as we are continuing our celebration and acknowledgement of World FSHD Day today. And we have reached throughout the globe, kind of getting perspectives and different people to kind of join us. We talked to a lot of people from the States, talking to a lot of people in Canada. And we also have a representative here from the UK. We call her Raj, as I do enjoy her name and her accent. I'm so glad that she could join us today. Welcome, Raj. Introduce yourself. Tell us who you are and where are you in the world?
Hi, Tim. Thanks very much for inviting me. I'm honored to be representing FSHD UK, but also myself as a patient. I have FSHD. I'm in London, United Kingdom.
Very nice.
London, England. Yes.
Very nice. I like how you say that. London, England. It sounds so crisp. Yeah, I know. We were talking about that before we hit record, right? All the different accents people have. But thank you for representing the UK. What is your role there in regards to, you know, FSHD?
So I was diagnosed in 2016. And since then, I'd been trying to find a way to make a difference with what's happening with FSHD. And about 2 years ago, I finally put pen to paper, wrote up a one pager on what I thought we should do as a strategic group. And I've been very, very fortunate. We now have 30 in our team, 6 sites, patients, clinicians, research scientists, the FSHD Society, MD UK, the registry from the UK. So we have a wonderful group, and that's our remit is to get clinical trial ready.
Very good. That's kind of a big goal. I like how you slipped that in there and said, trying to get clinical trial ready. That's a big undertaking, yes. Right? I mean, are you becoming the, you know, FSHD group in the UK right now?
I think we are. We have an organization called MD UK, and they look after multiple types of muscular dystrophies. But there isn't really a specific FSHD strategic group. There is an FSHD support group who are very good at looking after the day-to-day needs. So if you need a wheelchair, or you might need to talk about how to navigate your way through the National Health Service that we have, then we have that group. And Liz, who is on our team, is excellent at that. But what we didn't have is somebody that was looking at things a bit more strategically and holistically. And that's what FSHD UK has really picked up, I would say.
Nice. And in the States, you know, it might be becoming more known what FSHD is. But in the UK, I guess the question is, what do you wish more people knew about FSHD?
It's a really good question. I think I myself didn't know what FSHD was till I found out. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's, well, I think it's a rare disease. I think hopefully most of our community will know that. But it manifests itself in such a different way. I think it's the third, although I think I read somewhere, it's also the second most prevalent of the muscular dystrophies. But what's interesting is that I think it's difficult to diagnose because of the way it is. It's, you know, asymmetric. It could be any particular part of your body, etc. And I think what I'd like people to understand is that, you know, as a it doesn't pick by gender, race, age, or specific, you know, any kind of specific rationale behind it, other than obviously we know the cause of it. But what people don't understand is kind of what the person who actually is diagnosed with it feels, which is could be pain, fatigue, a loss of muscle, and all of those impact them in many ways. And I think that when you look at a person with FSHD, somebody, as we know, 1 out of 5 people can be in a wheelchair, but also other people show nothing, but they could be feeling pain, muscle pain, fatigue, etc. So I think it would be good for people to understand that whilst the muscular dystrophies are very different, for the individual, it's a big life-changing moment in lots of ways. You know, the way you can perhaps walk to get a pint of milk down the road, you can't sometimes. And you used to be able to do that 2 years ago. So all those things make a difference to your day-to-day life. And that's what people need to understand with muscular dystrophy. And FSHD particularly, because it's very slow progressing, as we know, and it can affect, as I said, at any age. So we, you know, you can't judge.
Right. Yes. And it can be a little bit, like you mentioned, difficult to diagnose, but even difficult to pick up, you know, people understanding why some walk a certain way or can't lift certain things. Or there's been many times where I've been in a store and I looked able-bodied and this person's like, can you help me lift this heavy item off a shelf? And I'm like, no. You know, and then you're like, I'm being rude a little bit, but I'm like, well, and like, we're going to go into this big explanation of why. Well, no, I usually try to help them, of course, anyway, but it is tough to even kind of pick up, right, by someone that doesn't know. So awareness is really key. So do you believe then, you know, raising awareness and understanding about FSHD is of course important, but more importantly, why do you think it's so important?
I think there are so many areas here that you could cover. I think for patients in particular, I don't know how it is in the US, but diagnosis, I mean, it took me 4 years to get diagnosed. So I think the latest survey showed something between 4 and 7 years for people to be diagnosed, which is terrible. And I think when you don't know the symptoms, and this is what I was saying, that I think that because not all the muscles in that particular group are affected, this is what I was sort of reading, is that I think it's difficult for doctors to diagnose. So for example, our GPs, which is our general practitioner, they don't always know that it's FSHD. Patients don't always know. I had no idea that this was FSHD, even though an uncle had mentioned it a few years back. I didn't associate I kept falling over. I did not associate that with what my uncle had. And I think for patients to be aware early on is important, mainly because I think you can use certain techniques and tools to manage it in a way. You've also got a chance to then understand why you're falling over or why you can't lift this thing or why suddenly you could do one thing one day but not the other. So for me, from a patient's perspective, but again, from clinicians and the medical professional, I think that the better we can educate and make those teams aware, the faster the diagnosis and the greater speed at which we can get patients and clinicians working together to come to, if it's clinical trials or if it's interventions to do with physiotherapy or orthopedics, etc.
So you believe then that because of lack of education, that of course is a problem, getting more people diagnosed. So then do you believe there's probably more people that have FSHD that don't know it?
Oh, I think I'm absolutely sure every person will say this. I think in every family, there must be more than the ones that have been diagnosed.
Yeah.
You know, there must be. I know in my own family, not everybody's either registered or is fully aware that this is FSHD, even though I'm already, you know, leading the way here in terms of trying to get people to be aware. But I think even myself, as I said, I knew that an uncle of mine had this many years ago, but I didn't associate his symptoms with my symptoms. That's how difficult it is. So I think the greater the awareness, the more we can understand that actually it doesn't just show in one way. It can present itself in so many ways. And if you can connect the dots and make that equation balanced, then that's what we need to make people, but patient clinicians, therapists, etc., understand that.
So there's a lot happening in the FSHD research right now. We have, a lot of promising things on the horizon. But what do you think is maybe the most promising, yet also the most challenging for this community? And kind of speak, you know, to your UK part of the world.
I mean, I think that the timing in terms of when we set up FSHD UK was just perfect. You know, we've just about got clinical trials really taking off now with multiple players on that journey. And our role as FSHD UK was literally to be clinical trial ready and become the coordinating group for FSHD in the UK. And I think we've really started, well, we've definitely got the first one underway. We have two clinical trials underway now at two sites. And the other thing is that we're definitely starting to become the coordinated group because people are now coming to us to either share about studies or talk about studies and bring them to our table. So I think that's really exciting as well. One of the biggest challenges, I guess, is to be clinical trial ready because it's not just a press the button and it happens. You know, you have to mobilize the patients, you have to get the sites ready, you have to have pharmaceuticals. And one of the most exciting things for me, I mean, those are the challenges that we would have to, you know, make sure that everybody's working together. And I think up until now, perhaps it's been quite vertical, perhaps, you know, patients are patients, clinicians are clinicians, pharmaceuticals are pharmaceuticals. But what I'm seeing now, and certainly in the UK, we've set up this kind of multi-stakeholder group, We're now seeing that at a global level with some of the work that Mark and Ken are doing around Project Mercury, and that is a global initiative to try and get clinical trial ready across not just one country, but across many. And it's a very exciting, can do, should do, must do. You know, it's one of those initiatives. And I think that that's definitely going to take us to a good place with FSHD.
Yeah, that when you bring up the Project Mercury, that's kind of a new push coming on the horizon here. That's pretty impactful. What was that initial conversations kind of tying your UK community within that?
I think the work that we've done over the last 2 years, you know, we've gone from very little FSHD, and we've got amazing clinicians, and we've got the NHS services, etc. So it's not as if the UK didn't have the will to, well, I probably, the will's not the right word, but the group to actually take that forward. I think that's what FSHD UK has filled that role. It's created a strategic multi-stakeholder group, as I said, patients, clinicians, research scientists, etc. And that taken at a global level is what I think helped us to A, be on that table, but B, it's also the similar kind of a multi-stakeholder group mobilized together to aim towards this goal of getting clinical trial ready for FSHD across many countries, not just one.
You mentioned the word goal there, right?
Yes.
And as your group is in its early stages, maybe, right? You're just starting this off, such a great start you've had. And I know World FSHD is maybe something that you don't have this big party planned or something, or lights going off and that whatnot. So let's kind of more target about the future. You know, what is the next, between now and the next June 20th, look like for your UK group, getting more awareness out and so forth?
So we have taking the chapter idea from Orlando last year, actually, we started something called a patient engagement at site. So the six sites that we have a reach of about just under 800 people. And on the UK registry, we have 950. So we've got a pretty good reach of patients with the sites that we have. So we started with one of our sites. And the idea is that each of those sites would have patient engagement days during the course of this next year, and then connecting them all up on June the 20th in 2024. So that's the ambition. And that's certainly what we're playing to. So we're starting to get each of the sites mobilized. One of our sites is already doing a patient awareness day this June 20th, but it's a separate initiative with the therapist. But the other one is much a wider educational about FSHD UK, about the clinical trials that are coming, will be coming as well in the future, as well as updating people on our role in Project Mercury as well. So that's the idea.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, that's all I got for you, Raj. I mean, you just blew this out of the water, helping us recognize this day, seeing what our goals are globally, doing that very well for us. So glad that you're aboard in this fight, and you can really sense your passion of where you want to put your energy into this. I'm glad you're on our side. Glad you're on our team.
Thanks, Tim. It's been a pleasure.
Excellent. Thanks, Raj. You take care.
Thank you so much.